Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Your alternative talk radio contact, The Planet, KGRARadio.com.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Into the Fray. If you follow me on the various social media platforms, you know that I just got back from filming the first part of the second season of On the Trail of UFOs with the Small Town Monsters crew. You can see some of the behind the scenes and outtakes from that trip on Twitter, Instagram, and of course, Facebook. Tonight's episode is really just a very small portion of the chat that I had with Jonathan Brown about my trip to his property in 2014 in Washington State. The majority of the chat is saved for my Patreons over at patreon.com. So, John, first of all, thanks for coming back. And it's been a really long time since we've talked, and I've gone to a handful of places in person for Bigfooting purposes, as far as an active location. And of course, you and Sarah's property there in Washington State is a place that I went with Wes Germer when I was still a part of Sasquatch Chronicles. It was an eventful trip, to say the least. It's something that my listeners know I bring up a lot, is my time at your property. And if you wouldn't mind, though, just kind of giving a quick, you know, when did you guys kind of move into that property? How long did it take before you realized that there was something kind of different about some of the other inhabitants of the area?
And, we've lived there for years, but as far as everything really starting to where, you know, we knew something was around, it was in the fall of 2012, and it was sometime after dark. I went out to the car to go get something, and then I heard a whistle, but I didn't just hear a whistle. There was a really strong smell outside, and I can't explain it perfectly, but it smelled similar to a skunk, just not quite as sharp. And so after that whistle happened, you know, it wasn't a bird whistle or anything like that. It was, you know, something that had lips. And I would say about 45 seconds after that, from the opposing side of our property, probably 300 feet away from the initial whistle that I heard, I'm just guessing distance, by the way, I heard another whistle from that area. And so after that, we just started spending some time outside, making a fire out by the gazebo, and just staying out, listening and seeing what would happen.
And your initial thought was Bigfoot. I mean, that because you were kind of already in the know of what that might mean as far as the smell and the whistling.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've heard stories from other people on the reservation that, you know, sounded, you know, pretty compelling. I didn't think that they were just, you know, making up these random stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that I've always believed in. It's a little bit different when you experience it in person, because even though you believe in it, you kind of think to yourself, hey, this shouldn't really be happening right now.
Right.
This was after, you know, we knew things were going on, that I was going outside and I was going to go start a fire by the gazebo. But immediately, and this, I want to say this was like in November or December. It was a cold month. And I can't remember if it was 2013 or 2014, but I'm going outside and we had audio running at the time. And the first thing that I heard was what sounded like, I could only explain it as like little girls singing. And to think that there would actually be little girls in the woods behind my house at that time, it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But we have that clip recorded on audio, and that's one of my favorite ones, just because I heard it in person, and it's not a typical audio recording that I've heard. It's something that's a little more strange and unique.
And did that creep you out a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, part of it would creep me out if there actually was, it would probably creep me out more if there actually was little girls back there singing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a random question, because you guys, I mean, I know they're older now, but you know, your lovely daughters, I mean, I got to meet all the kids and everybody. Do you think that they picked that up from your own children? I mean, I know there's other kids, you know, on the reservation and everything, but was it anything you could recognize?
I have no idea. I mean, that's a possibility, but you know, I don't know. Maybe they just kind of moan in like a singing fashion, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes. I don't.
Yeah. And I wish that you had been outside for that. The whoops when we played the baby cry. We'll get into that, but that just that reminded me of that because it sounded feminine to us. But how long did that singing sound, the little girls in the gazebo, go on for?
It wasn't all that long, but I did happen to be outside right at the time it was going on, but I can't recall. I mean, less than 30 seconds, I would think.
Did you walk over there?
Yeah, I went over there after it had happened, but you know, it was minutes later that I went over there, because you know, it was a spooky thing.
Yeah, that would have creeped me right out. Anything having to do with a baby crying in the woods when there really shouldn't be a baby crying, or you know, little girls chattering or making sounds like that, is just like, holy cow. Now that gazebo, and I'm trying to remember, I know there's other stories centered around that gazebo, right? Because it seemed to be a hotspot for them, to kind of their focal point. And maybe that's because where you guys would gather. But it seems like there was another story you told us while we were actually sitting there at the gazebo. And I can't remember. It'll probably come to me. But they did seem to be interested in that.
Well, that's, as you know, Ben and I had, you know, recorded and got the thermal recording pretty close to right by the gazebo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they knew right where to watch you guys, right?
Yeah, we were at the gazebo, faced towards that little ridge right there.
Now, another one that you've mentioned was you and Ben heard one speaking. Can you describe that for me?
But the only way that I could really describe it is like a deaf feminine sound, and this is just speculation. I mean, we heard it really loud, we heard it live, and we were like, we heard it over towards the road, and so we go over there and we don't see anybody walking around on the road or anything like that, because at first even positive that it was a Bigfoot, and without seeing it, you know, we can't be positive either, but we think there's a high probability of that's what it is.
Yeah, and you even mentioned that it so it's like a deaf person, but maybe also someone with Down syndrome. It just sounded very distinct and very strange.
Yeah, I left that part out because I said that before and I got some flack about it, but right. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful in saying it.
Right.
But that's kind of, you know, what it sounded like to me.
Right. And I've heard that lots of times. So yeah, absolutely. So you guys walk over there, and then was it still going on as you're walking towards the road where you think it's coming from, or had it stopped at that point?
We were unaware of which direction it was walking or anything like that. In the times that when we heard it, and at the times that we were playing the audio back, just speculating, it almost kind of sounded like a mother talking down to something, but sounding, you know, kind of deaf at the same time.
That's so interesting, because it does tie right in with what we heard that night. That is so cool. I hadn't realized that it was a feminine sound.
That the time that you came over, that was definitely pretty weird.
Yes. Okay, so let's jump into that. My trip out there with Wes, you guys invited us out there. It was October of 2014. And I think that this happened, I think it was the very first night, that Friday night. I always say this because if Sarah wasn't spot on, Sarah kind of said, you know, I think that you guys, because we were going on a little trek out into the pasture and all this, and she's kind of going, well, if you guys don't mind, you know, I don't think you should go into the buildings over yonder, because, you know, I really feel like that's their area and you should stay out of it. And then, of course, where do we end up going? Right to the buildings over there. And we got caught, right, in a little rainstorm. It was late, what, like 1, 2, 3, you know, maybe it was 3 in the morning. It was late, and it was not warm out. You know, October, it's rainy, right, and damp. And, I mean, and I don't want to, I would rather probably you just tell what you remember first, so that my side doesn't, because everybody's heard my side of it so many times. But, yeah, just, I'll let you kind of take it away with what you remember from that night.
So I don't remember anything specifically happening before that, but we just decided to go over in that abandoned barn. We go in there and we're just kind of looking around, and I don't remember, was it Kirk who had first seen some light that was moving?
Yeah. Yep. We were all against that back wall. And then since the barn, so much of it had the, you know, the plywood was pulled down. There was no walls basically on that other side facing the ravine. He's like, hey, yep, there's somebody in the woods over there.
Yeah. And so all of us are, from what I remember, all of us were, you know, just looking at it. And Kurt's looking through the thermal and he's seeing nothing on the thermal. You know, we've seen it coming towards us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've seen, the last that I remember is, you know, seeing it kind of go down to the ground.
Yep, exactly. And Kirk never, I think he I don't even know if he took it away from his eye as he jumped over, like he basically went through the wall, right? And then I remember, I don't know if you went through that way with him or if you went through the door, like we basically went back again.
Kirk's the only one that went through that that front face that we were looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went through the barbed wire. I didn't feel like going through the barbed wire, so from what I remember, all of us went out the back way. As we're exiting that back area, all of a sudden something starts banging on the side of the barn.
Yeah, because there's a second building there, and it was really loud because there was some metal siding, right?
Yes.
On so that particular one.
Was it the barn or was it that metal building that it was banging on? I can't recall that specifically.
I thought that it, because we were already, Wes and Mimi had gone out ahead, and maybe it was you and I that were a little bit further back, but Mimi came bolting back down to us So I think that the banging was going on that smaller building that was directly outside of the barn. And then we all immediately went around that corner, and there was nothing there. And at that point, Kirk is still trying to figure out where the hell the light went, like what was the source of the light. And he never dropped the thermal, and he's going, I got no heat signature. Like, I can't find, it's not a person.
Yeah, from what I remember, the area that we were seeing it, he should have been able to see something through thermal right there.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, it seemed like we were slightly above that area in a way, so it's not like we were at a disadvantage height-wise, right? And then we made our way out of there, and he still couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't a nice night. Like, I've always said that. I'm like, somebody was out on a really shitty night just to, you know, go for a walk and have we all thought it was just some, like an asshat walking through the forest on a freezing cold night in the rain with a headlamp on. But then, yeah, it just dove towards the ground and there's nothing. Kirk's like, there's nothing here, which was so strange. And then with the banging at the same time, and we went out to check on the orb, and we have someone or something banging on this damn metal siding.
Yeah, there was been as spread out as we were. You'd think that if there was a person around, that we would have seen it with as spread out as we were, because it was a fairly open area.
Yeah, and at that point we came out, and the rain had pretty much stopped. I mean, there was a little bit of misting going on, but it's not like we wouldn't have been able to hear anything, like if someone was running away or laughing, or which, by the way, they shouldn't have been screwing with us, because we were not unarmed that night, right? We were armed, and it wouldn't have been smart to be screwing with people out there.
No, that'd be a really dumb thing. And you know, I remember the next morning us being kind of disturbed about it, like, because we can't deny that it happened, but you know, what did happen? Was it a person with a headlamp that we saw that somehow was able to evade the thermal camera by getting out of sight in, you know, the proper amount of time? I don't know. All I know is it was really weird, and it was disturbing that couldn't see it on thermal, whether it was a person or what it was.
Right. And even to this day, people go, well, you know, you've been out for Bigfoot. Have you ever seen anything weird? And I'll go, unfortunately, yes. I mean, it was a cool experience, but it's kind of one of those things where you're out for one thing and you see another and you're like, well, shit, you know, well, shit.
Right.
Right? Like, it was kind of, we all felt that way. John, I remember you talking about on the hillside, like if you're in the gazebo, oh God, I don't even know what direction that would be. So if you're facing the back door of your house, it'd be off to the right, I believe it was. Like that hill over there, I remember you telling me stories, and I think that you saw this with your own eyes, but you would see what you thought looked like campfires just popping up on that hill, and then it would go away, and then it would come back up in another spot.
You're not talking about any small hills that are close to my house. You're talking about on the what looks like a mountain.
Yeah. I mean, well, I call it a hill, but because things are a little scale wise, they're a little different there. But yeah. But that mountainside, the hillside there, it's nothing that's, I forget how close that was to your house, but I seem to remember you telling me some kind of stories about lights over there.
As far as the crow flies, that would be probably 3 or 4 miles. I don't know.
Okay.
But as far as lights go, I remember one time particularly seeing, I wouldn't describe it as like a campfire light, but I remember seeing, I can't even recall what color it really was. I just remember seeing a strange light on that hillside. And, you know, could it have been somebody with a really bright spotlight over there, or, you know, some type of big light? Maybe. It's just that I've never seen that over there before. But as far as lights go, there's always a possible explanation for it that is natural.
Absolutely. And as you said, even with the orb that we saw, it could have been a person. It could have been.
It's possible. Possible. And as far as times that I've seen lights on other occasions,
I've seen a red light go through the woods by my house. And is it a possibility that somebody had a headlamp on? It's a possibility. The only thing that I know is I saw a red light going through the woods.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be clear, there's plenty of people in the area. It's not like you live out in the middle of nowhere, Montana, right, for hundreds of miles. So that's something that you always have to kind of keep in mind with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so did you want to talk about the picture that Sarah got while we were out there with you guys?
The only thing about that is that's not a story that I'm involved with, because that was something that you guys had experienced. The only thing that I know is from I don't remember clearly, but there was something on thermal that you guys had seen from the night before that made you want to look around that particular area in the corner of the property.
Yes, and I want you to corroborate this, because every time I post that picture, and I know that you guys, it's one of the biggest things, and it's what we talked about in the beginning, when you post this stuff, it is, you feel like pulling your hair out after 5 minutes. One of the things when I post that picture that people do not understand, they'll go, well, it's the ass of a deer. Well, it's a beaver. Well, it's the, and I'm trying to, and I put it right in the post, right? There's a description people are supposed to read before they start to make their judgments on a picture or whatever it is. I clearly state that brush stands, I don't know, 7.5 feet tall, 7 feet tall. When we were trying to recreate where that was, I was on the other side of that brush trying to, you know, we're trying to find exactly where that noggin was. I was on a chair on my tippy toes, and Sarah could basically barely make out my hand. And
yeah, there was no place for a deer to be positioned.
No.
That would have.
Unless it had wings, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing that makes me want to pull my hair out when I post that picture. Is there? I'm going, guys, that is not ground brush. That brush stands 6 to 7 feet tall, at least. But that was the biggest area of contention. Now, having brought up the linebacker on the ridge thermal, and the fact that you could see this bony ridge, like this ridge going to the back of the skull, and also the ocular bones for the brow ridge, you can also see that in the photo that Sarah took while we were taking a picture of that brush, because as you said, something was weird on thermal the night before. And she actually changed, you know, she put it on IR, she put it on black and white, she advanced the colors and things, and in some of the other changes of the photo, you can clearly make out this heavy, heavy brow ridge, and then that line kind of going up its cone head, and it's got a very conical shaped head, which seemed to be a theme of the Bigfoot in that area.
It essentially looked like what you would expect a Bigfoot to look like.
Mm-hmm. Very, I mean, it had more of a gorilla type face, right? So
yeah, there. When Sarah first did that, that you and her had from the pictures that you guys were taking, that when she was, you know, reviewing it, she told me that you guys got, there was what looked like a Bigfoot in one of the pictures. And when she first told me about it, I was under the impression that it was just going to be a very like shitty looking blob squatch that could be just something else. But that I was pretty impressed when I saw the picture, because that's what I would expect a Bigfoot head to look like.
Right.
I've seen a Bigfoot head, and it looks like that.
And it's tough because, as you said, when you had your daytime sighting, and we've heard this before, it seems like if they're in the sunlight, their hair will look one way, but if they go into a shadow, the hair will, you know, look darker or black or, you know, dark brown. And it's hard to put your finger on really what color their hair, their fur is. But this particular one looked, you know, really like black or dark brown. And it was broad daylight. That was the craziest thing, is we didn't see it live. That's not why we took the picture. I don't know. I still can't explain
you
that.
You were, Yeah, you guys are doing the thermal recreation pictures to try to find, to try to figure out what you guys saw in thermal.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, looking at the pictures, that's what came up.
Yeah. And I had been over there, like on and off, like, because we were hollering over all that brush, trying to figure, you know, stuff out. And that picture comes up. We were both just stunned. And yeah, it's a pretty damn good picture. We were really excited about that.
The reason that I was expecting it to be like a shitty looking blob squatch when Sarah first told me about it was because you guys were right there when, mm-hmm. you know, all of that was going on. I mean, you guys had no idea that there could possibly be something lurking around you.
No, we didn't hear anything, didn't smell anything, didn't sense anything. Like, it was literally not until we were done trying to figure out our little experiment until she went in to check the card and she called me in there and we were just absolutely stunned. We're like, what in the actual hell? We were out there most of the morning. That's crazy to me. That's just, they're really good at what they do.
Well, if that is the case, if that is a Bigfoot in the picture, which it looks like it is, if that's the case, more than likely you guys saw it. It was just disguised well, you know, in the brush.
Yeah. And on that side of that brush too, it's not like the thickest underbrush, or it's not the thickest of part of a forest, but you know, if it heard me coming around the corner or something, it could have just, you know, be gone. Like yours was trying to hide behind that tree, which is comical because it was way too big, but there'd be plenty of places for something to run really fast, especially when that's what they do. They're quiet and they run, and we're just bumbling idiots in the woods, always way too loud, you know?
Right.
Well, yeah. Oh, so before I let you go, I just wanted to bring up the whoops and the baby cry, because I promised that I would. The baby cry was played through Wes's phone, so it wasn't technically what you call a call blast, right? Because we didn't hook it up to massive speakers or anything, because obviously you had gone on, you were tired. It was kind of nearing the end of our trip, and we had pulled some damn near all-nighters. And Wes started playing that, and God, that thing was running for like 40, 45 minutes. And then it was almost the same thing like Derek's story. We were getting kind of fed up with listening to this damn thing, or we were thinking about turning it off. And then off to our right was these three whoops, like whoop, whoop, whoop. And it sounded feminine. That's why when you said that earlier, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Because me and Wes both kind of went, that sounds feminine to me. And we're like, yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. And it went on for several minutes. It would take a break and then whoop, whoop, whoop until the phone died. And then the second the phone died, nothing, no sounds. We didn't hear anything moving away, nothing. And that was kind of the end of that night. But that was really another incredible thing that happened on that trip, was those whoops.
Yeah, I remember hearing you guys talking about it the next morning.
And do you remember what Sarah said about that? Like, because obviously you guys at that point had plenty of experiences, but I can't remember if she said that was, oh yeah, I've heard that before, or if you guys had ever even, had you tried playing any kind of a baby cry out there before?
We had never tried playing any baby cries from what I remember. But as far as like the responses goes, there's a good chance that whatever it is that you guys, the whooping that you guys have heard, that there's similar audio clips that we have that are pretty close to that.
Yeah, I bet you do. Especially with you using that same word, that word feminine, because that's exactly what we labeled it as well. So
there's been so many different things that have happened that are, you know, pretty weird as far as, you know, activity goes.
I guess when you're kind of living around it every day, it would be so tough for me too, because I'm terrible with dates and remembering the order of things. So that would be a point of difficulty for me too.
Yeah, I am going to be uploading a lot more of our audio that we've never shared before on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And we took our YouTube channel down in the past.
just because, you know, we were just so burned out on, you know, Bigfooting. But the name of my YouTube channel is Salish Sasquatch. And I put our thermal video. That's the only thing that I have uploaded right now, but I'm going to start putting a lot of the audio on there. And the deaf sounds, you know, that Ben and I had personally heard, I'll be putting that on there, as well as what sounded like little girls singing to me.
Thanks so much for doing this. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And hopefully sometime in the near future, you'll be able to make it up here again.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little fire. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Thank you.
in his poem, The Four Quartets, where he says, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.